We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome in to Sports Talk here, unpacking the Saints organized team activities with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Also, still kind of saying to myself, did I really just see what I saw? With the LSU baseball game, 4-3, they advance in walk-off fashion, untraditional walk-off fashion. Wild pitch, catcher blocks it up, kicks it, two runs score. LSU wins 4-3 over Auburn. Saul Garza came through with another clutch hit as well. You recognize this song?
No.
Tears for Fears, Raul.
Wait,
King of Spain.
I got to hear some words.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Raul, King of Spain. So we're going to change it to Saul, King of Hoover. He set up the game-winning stuff. He's been on fire, too, at the plate.
King of Hoover, King of Rouge.
King of Rouge?
If you say Rouge, no, there's only one Baton Rouge. I mean, there's no other city named Rouge. So King of Hoover, King of Rouge. So.
Instead of Raul, Saul.
All right, Chris.
Just having some fun, man.
So wait, that just clicked in your brain or something?
No, actually, I've been working on it for a couple of days.
Oh, you have? Oh, really?
No, but look.
So now I'm not impressed. I thought it was spontaneous.
Saul Garza, I was really critical of him early in the year. He was struggling. Well under 200, striking out. I mean, it was almost to the point to where if a pitcher got ahead of him, it was like, good night. It's over. He can't hit at all. All of a sudden, here he is in the last month. He's 10 for his last 20.
That's pretty good, I'd say.
500. Get into some diamonds in the rough, Bobby. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, some from the OTAs.
Yeah.
Who are some of the guys that we might not have heard of but stood out today?
Yeah, before I do diamonds in the rough, Chris, you know I always got to backtrack because I want to get it right. And listen, I've had a number of brain farts and it frustrates me if I can't remember a player considering they've contributed at the highest level. Tre'Mon Williams. How can I not remember Tre'Mon Williams, the cornerback from the Packers from Assumption High School? Then also Jordan Mills. He's with the Bears. So I got to acknowledge that because that's – listen, I'm all about – if you live along the water, you always have production. Remember that. The Mississippi River, Bayou Lafourche, any tributary that comes about – so I got to acknowledge because I did talk about Brandon Jacobs. I did talk about Johnny Mead. So I just that being said, I had to bring up those particular players from right here just south in New Orleans on Bayou Lafourche and the Assumption Mustangs. But with that being said, diamonds in the rough. The Who Dat Nation players you're not necessarily familiar with, but – all of a sudden, the media were there, and we got to witness them. This is the third OTA. We weren't there Tuesday or Wednesday. We're going to be there next Thursday. But I thought this was interesting because he caught a couple of balls. He had two catches, one down the middle for 25 yards and a deep ball for plus 40 yards from Taysom Hill. Oh, Taysom Hill.
What'd you think of his day? You said something during practice.
At the beginning, he settled down. At the beginning, he was not so good, but then he settled down. At the beginning, his first pass was what I witnessed last year. Not accurate. The ball sailed on him. I mean, it was an easy throw, and he threw away over the receiver's head. I said, you can't do that. You cannot do that. This is the NFL. It's like Brigham Young. You got to realize. But he settled down and had productive plays. And when he threw it to Butler Emmanuel. Now, he looks the part, Christian. This is number 17, Butler Emmanuel, the wide receiver, the rookie wide receiver from Northern Arizona. Not Arizona, Arizona State, Northern Arizona, directional school, 6'4", 220 pounds. He caught a 25-yard pass down the middle, then also a deep ball for plus 40. So I don't know. If you get that kind of production and you activate it in a real game, come on. And all of a sudden, Drew's throwing the ball to 8, 9, 10, 11 different receivers. And let's say you had a couple of catches for 60, 65, 70 yards. You don't think you're doing your job?
Sure.
I'm just going by what I saw in practice. So I don't know if this guy, he might suck next Thursday. I don't know. But his name's Butler Emmanuel, number 17 from Northern Arizona. Now, also Taysom Hill.
I love guys with two first names.
Who's that?
Butler Emmanuel, right? I mean, that could be two first names.
Yeah, you're right. I like the three-name concept.
Right.
If you have three names. To me, that's always intriguing. Because, Christian, what's your middle name?
William.
So if people would acknowledge you as Christian William Garrick, I go, why in the hell are we saying Christian William Garrick?
I don't know.
I would say, man, he would be really special.
You love Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Yes. Yes, because anybody with three names, and that's how you acknowledge, you have to have a significant impact on society. So two names, I can understand that. Three names, then you investigate and see why in the hell they have three names. So that's why I like Chauncey in that regard.
Who's the best three-name guy in sport that you've ever seen that comes to mind?
I know it comes to mind right now in my mind. I don't know where my mind is, but nothing comes to mind right now. But I know if I investigate this, there's a number of three-name guys that are sitting
kids. Mark will pull it up, I'm sure.
Yeah, like three names. No, that is truly unique or special. Or if you don't have two names, everybody has two names. If you don't have three names, how about having one name? Like when you say
LeBron, Drew,
you could say Drew, or you could say Breeze, or like Ronaldo,
Montana,
or I'm talking about international everything. Montana, or like if you say Messi,
mm-hmm.
Come on, you know who in the hell you're talking about. If you can go by one name, and people know who you are, I mean like Pele, remember this? Come on, Pele. I mean, think one name that. That's an impactful name. So
Mickey.
So who?
Mantle.
I don't know. I think you'd say
Mickey. Babe.
Mantle. You'd say more Mantle, not Mickey. There's okay. A bunch. You could say, come on, what are you talking about? Mickey Loomis. Like a Mickey.
Okay, Christian. So that was a bad example. I just said Mantle.
Yeah, no, say Mantle, but
Rose.
Not Mickey. Yeah, Pete Rose. But no, you can't say Mickey. Chris, I'm not going to let you go on that one. I'd say Mantle, because I'm thinking Mickey Loomis. What the? But Christian, and looking at other players, I want to get David Simmons Jr. And also, I wanted to comment about Dan Arnold.
We'll talk about that next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby loves the three-name athletes, guys like Billy Joe Tolliver and Billy Joe Hobert.
Well, and this texter, 9954, is saying, come on, man, Billy Joe Hobert, Billy Joe Tolliver, but you know who they are.
They're not good. They weren't very good, but you know
who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like Billy Bob Thornton. When you think about just how it stands out. But Billy Joe Hobert, Billy Joe Tolliver definitely would be in that same category. So when you look at it, you know, one name or two names like
Tiger.
The one name like Tiger, come on. I mean, you don't even have to ask any questions. This is now, you've truly made it when you say Tiger, you go anywhere in the world, if it's international, and they know who you're talking about. Because it could be three different aspects. It could be regionalized or your nation. Or then international. You truly made it. And no, I can tell you right now, we love American football. We love, you know who they do know right now? Because what have you done for me lately? You know what they know no matter where you're at? They know who Tom Brady is.
Of course.
If you say Brady. If you say Brady, they know who that is. That they don't know any other... They don't know Joe Montana. They don't know any of that. But they know who Tom Brady is. They know if you say Brady, they know, they recognize that name. So when you look at truly from an international perspective, national and then regionalized, like right now, I was just talking to you about this. If you're in the Gulf, South Gulf Coast in this region and you say Deuce, you know it's Deuce McAllister. But you go around the nation, unless they truly follow football, they might guess who's Deuce, like Deuce McAllister. Around the world, they don't know who that is.
I can tell you this. In NFL cities, Deuce still gets serenaded with Deuce.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's a national recognition.
You see, it has to be who you familiar with, but like Tiger Woods, when you just say Tiger, they know who that is. Like Ronaldo, Messi.
What is it? You know, what about Phil Mickelson if you refer to him as Lefty?
I think in the States, they would know who Lefty is. But that's kind of a nickname that I don't know from an international perspective, they know who Lefty is. They know who Tiger is. So
but. Shaq?
Shaq, they know Jordan. I'd say they know Jordan more than Shaq.
Sure.
And, you know, I ever told you, God, this is crazy.
Do you like Clinton, Haha Clinton Dix?
Yes, for America, I think that is a great name. Haha Clinton Dix, that is. He's not with the Redskins, going from the Packers to the Redskins. He has to do more to truly be accepted.
Amongst the three-name elite.
Yeah, but he's way better than Billy Joe Tolliver and Billy Joe Horton and all that. The Billy Joes, but Clinton Dix is definitely a unique name.
Dan Arnold doesn't have three names, but you wanted to talk about him and his day.
Yes.
Saints tight end.
Thanks for bringing that up, Christian. This is Dan Arnold, for instance. I know the Who Dat Nation. I'm watching him today from Taysom Hill. He catches a 25-yard corner route. And, Christian, I don't know why this came to mind. And I said, man, that's a nice catch. And I'm thinking, the Who Dat Nation said, man, why in the hell didn't he catch the ball against the Rams in the playoffs to set the tone instead of us having to settle for a field goal? What if you get a touchdown instead? Come on, you got to step up to the big moment. So that was Dan Arnold. Another diamond in the rough who had, Chris, you mentioned it earlier, but the lone interception, the only interception that occurred today was number 36. Now, he has three names. David Simmons Jr. I don't even know who in the hell is David Simmons the first. But David Simmons Jr., the rookie from North Park, just goes to show you they find you wherever you are, where you're playing. But here's number 36, a defensive back who came up with a big interception today from North Park. We had talked about that earlier. The bomb or the big play of the day, not necessarily the catch of the day, and it was the LSU Tiger involved. Now, when you think about an LSU receiver, you might be thinking about Trayvon Darrell. Trayvon Darrell ain't made plays, what I've witnessed so far, since he's been on board as this cat from Rummel High School in Metairie, that being number 83, Cyril Grayson Jr. So if you look at him, LSU, a track guy, Christian, he caught a bomb today from Bridgewater. It would have been a 70-yard touchdown. Okay, who's guarding him? I don't know, a guy that we've put in games, a special teams ace, Justin Hardy. Justin Hardy, think about Justin Hardy, how we count on him. Now, it might be an emergency. We got to throw him out there. But Justin Hardy's a special team ace 3 years out of University of Illinois. And all I know is Cyril Grayson got a 2-yard separation, and it would have been a 70-yard touchdown. Now, here's the only sack that I really – I don't know if they're really blocking because you don't have pads. I don't know who this cat is. Number 58 as far as the linebacking core, Porter Gustin. We got a couple of USC players, but this is 6'5", 260. He's from Utah, an edge rusher. He would end up having a sack today, I thought was impressive. Now, to look at players that excelled individually or didn't necessarily excel, let me tell you, if you look in a uniform, if he got off the bus, now he's taking Mark Ingram's place. Hopefully he has Mark Ingram's production. Latavius Murray looks the part. He looks like, I don't know, poor man's Eric Dickerson. I mean, when I look at Latavius Murray, 6'3", 230, he runs between the tackles. He was only a 6-yard gain, but a nice cut. But, Christian, I'm going to elaborate on players that we're not familiar with also going forward that
our CBS News update
that we're
going
to count on, right.
Back here on Sports Talk, breaking down OTAs Also, the LSU Tigers' wild and crazy advancement, their walk-off win in the SEC tournament over Auburn. Also, LeBron James's 11-year first-team All-NBA team is over. He had a run of 11 years, All-NBA, first-team All-NBA. He's not first-team All-NBA anymore. AD, you still want to go there? Play with LeBron?
No, come on, man. The Lakers are garbage. I mean, I go to the Clippers before I go to the Lakers.
I think you this was, yeah, this happened when you were on vacation. So it was amazing to hear the national media and even some of the local media, not here in New Orleans, but on the West Coast, the New York, from the New York market, from the LA market, screaming how Zion shouldn't go to the Pelicans and the Pelicans don't deserve a player like Zion. And that if they incur actively rooting for Zion to pull his name out of the draft or sit out, go play a year overseas and then sit out and come back next year. It was amazing to me.
Well, I don't know. That's garbage. That to me, if you truly a capitalist, as far as if you're getting market value, no matter if you're in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, New Orleans, Memphis, whatever, if you're getting market value, and really when you look at it, Texas and Florida has an advantage because you have no state income tax. But then when you look at, like, even coming to the Pelicans, I mean, if you're getting market value, bang for your buck goes a lot further than if you were living in L.A. and New York. So I don't know, as a young player, I mean, you could say off the court and stuff you can obtain, but really, if you look at you starting your career, that you go and you win a championship with a particular market, and then you go from there. You might have a personality like Tim Duncan, you never want to leave San Antonio, then you can understand that. But I don't understand, like, Anthony Davis, maybe he's not an alpha dog. I don't think he is. He's not an extrovert, more an introvert, not wanting to be that leader. But why wouldn't you want to stay in New Orleans or his agency, considering if you're trying to build a team and you got Zion and then you have a guy like Jrue Holiday? Okay, I'm looking at Jrue Holiday. I thought this was interesting. That Jrue Holiday made second all-defensive team. He's the only guard this decade to make an all-defensive second team while playing for a team with a losing record. So that definitely is the right guard when you look at Jrue Holiday, and only the second player since 2007. When you look, Kevin Garnett did it in 2007, then teammate Anthony Davis did it in 2017. So I'm just looking at overall the supporting cast. Why wouldn't AD want to stay in New Orleans, considering you have and trying to win a championship? If you have the likes of Jrue Holiday and you have Zion. So, I mean, it was amazing how Coach Gentry went on and on about Jrue Holiday, because it is a team concept and who's your supporting cast. And that's what AD is all about. Not the freaking Lakers. The Lakers ain't got crap compared to what Jrue Holiday has. You look, unless a player was taller than 6'9", Jrue Holiday was guarding them. Whether it's James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, that's who he was guarding. You know what, Damian Lillard, they just lost to they got swept by the Warriors. But he said about Jrue Holiday, really strong and quick. He said he's a tough guy to go against. And then even Coach Gentry talked about Jrue Holiday. We asked Jrue to do more than any other player in the league. He has to guard the best player on the other team, score 20 points, get 10 assists, and play just about more minutes than anybody else in the league. So, and then you add Zion. I mean, come on, LeBron. I mean, not LeBron. Come on, AD. Why are you wanting to leave New Orleans? What do you think? You think, you know, the pasture is always greener. You want to go, it's not the Lakers. So it's not L.A. Now, the Clippers would be a different scenario to me. But I'm just intrigued. Well, you look at Anthony Davis's representation, where he'd want to land.
With LeBron? Because he's with Clutch Sports.
Okay, but what are we going to get in return? Man, the Lakers don't have anything we want. The Lakers don't have anything that we want. So, listen, we got to think of the team.
Fourth overall pick, right?
We got to still think of the team. Okay, what is that, Christian? Fourth overall pick. I mean, we got to have to manipulate and what's going to occur. I don't know. Some people might say, well, AD has burned the bridges. Why has he burned any bridges? What have you done, Christian? I'll say this. What have you done for me lately? What happened last year? That's like ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
If all of a sudden you in the fold and you rolling and you winning now, people won't remember what happened last year.
Not one moment.
What are you doing now? So I'm just saying, how can the Pelicans be relevant to represent the West and have a chance? I mean, AD, I think he should stay here.
I agree.
I mean, come on.
But he ain't. He's not staying here. He wants out. And I think it's going to – look, David Griffin has a chance. I think they're going to talk to him in the next couple weeks. And it's David Griffin, so you never know. But I think in all likelihood
– I'm not letting him go unless I get considerable value in return.
Well, that's what David Griffin's intentions are. Bobby and Christian here on Sports Talk on WWL. Bobby, you know the biggest thing about what happened today in Hoover is not necessarily LSU's wild win, but – Ole Miss doing LSU a favor, taking down Texas A&M. They were on that bubble as well as a potential regional host site. Now, with this win after processing that, I think LSU virtually assured themselves of a number 16 seed with the win over Auburn today.
So by Texas A&M losing to Ole Miss, but that was a dull game. It was 1-0 mm-hmm. forever. I know we were watching the Saints OTA practice with Deuce, and it was like, man, Ole Miss can't get a hit. But at least they won.
Yeah, Ole Miss. I mean, Deuce is a little downtrodden about his Ole Miss Rebels.
Yeah, but the bottom line is they won, and that helped LSU potentially because they beat Auburn.
Hey, they're the Black Bears now. They're not the Rebels.
They're not.
No. What? Be politically correct.
Oh, yeah, like what? The Black Bears. What? No, you know it was the Black Bears. I think, or Mike Buck, the University of Maine. I think Maine is the Black Bears.
Boy, that guy could throw it, huh?
Yeah, but he had. You know what? That just goes to show you could have a big head and don't necessarily you have a big brain. No, I'm
serious.
He
had a big head?
A bucket head. I mean, his helmet did not even fit.
Really?
You could put his helmet on and, like, spin it around. But it didn't – I mean, it was that big, I guess, the skull or something. But I don't know what
so he didn't have much going on upstairs?
What's in that skull? No, I like Mike Buck. I don't want to throw him under the bus, but – He knew a few plays. You got to know more than a few plays if you're playing quarterback. He had a cannon for an arm.
How'd your dark horse fare today at Saints OTAs?
Well, my dark horse, Christian, and I went by on the premise of, because in the past, this is now over a decade, look at key running backs and what they could do as far as contribute. And that being, we all know Pierre Thomas, but you look at like Chris Ivory. You look at Kari Robinson, Divine. Oh, it is very divine. Divine Azigbo. Christian, I was impressed, and this is going to go a long way. Now, he needs to run the ball in an actual game more like Dwayne Washington. Remember Dwayne Washington to close out the season, the four-year veteran at the University of Washington, had over 100 yards against Carolina. Can he run with those kind of instincts? You know one thing he did do today? He could catch the ball in the backfield. He doesn't look like he's struggling. Nice hands. He caught a swing route 15 yards. I know it was like two or three notes that I took on Divine Ozigbo. That's the running back out of Nebraska. I said, watch out for him. Because, you know, you have, okay, we all know who's the workhorses. Obviously, Alvin Kamara and Latavius Murray. But who's going to be that other guy? Who's in that competition? And I'm telling you, Divine Azigbo, along with Dwayne Washington. So just like the way Divine Azigbo caught the ball. The reason why I bring that up, you know who looked like a spastic catching the ball? Dwayne Washington, who had two drops.
Back to back.
And I'm not talking about tough catches. I mean, come on.
No, these are routine.
And it's like he had one swing route the way, you know, the quarterback's influencing the defense to dump it off. He had a 15-yard gain. Well, it's not a 15-yard gain if you drop the damn ball. So incomplete pass. So I'm just looking at the first day we got to witness. Azigbo seemed a lot more relaxed, natural as far as catching the ball versus Dwayne Washington. Now, I talked about Taysom Hill getting off to a slow start, not being accurate, the ball sailing on him, but how he was able to make plays as the practice progressed. You know, and the proof's in the pudding when you look at when he's able to settle down and make big plays down the field, and Taysom Hill did that. Now, is it going against Drew Brees? And I talked about Jerry Cook, how the first pass in practice was a 20-yard gain down the middle. Now, you know, you watch the whole practice and see how the defense is doing. This is encouraging. This is encouraging because we need our defense to be able, we got to get better in this area. Our linebacker coverage and our safety coverage at times on intermediate routes. And I thought this was really good. Alex Azzalone, good pass defense on Jerry Cook versus Drew Brees. You know why I say that's a positive? I say, well, we need Drew Brees and Jerry Cook to hook up. It's a positive because we need Alex Azzalone to take that next step to be outstanding, not just good, but to be great or outstanding in pass coverage against your opponent. And he did that against Jerry Cook. Now, Chris, we were talking about Ken Crawley. Ken Crawley's fighting. Look where he's at. He's going from a starter
to run with the threes.
To try and make the team. You know what he did today? He had good coverage on Michael Thomas on a curl route. Batted the ball down. And I said, Christian, come on. Look at Ken Crawley right there. That is a positive. That's not just opinion. That's what actually occurred on film. And the one player, Christian, that – and all of a sudden I'm thinking, who is number 29? Because who you think? You think Kurt Coleman? No, we got – it's Chris Campbell. He had a great opportunity, but he dropped the pick. He's the one-year defensive back from Penn State. Teddy Bridgewater kind of underthrew the ball along the sidelines. That was another chance for a second interception. But, again, I'm going to close it out with this. Drew Brees threw a number of passes on to Alvin Kamara, but I'm going to leave you with this. This is why you need OTAs. This is why you need minicamp. Drew Brees to Alvin Kamara with no defensive line on a 7-on-7 drill. There's the defensive backs, linebackers, all the skilled people without the linemen. Drew Brees is trying to hook up with Alvin Kamara. You think, like, man, we've played enough together. It should be like second nature. A back shoulder throw and the communication, and you might be like, where in the hell Drew's throwing it? But Alvin Kamara kept running, and that back shoulder throw, it was not there. Did you see when Drew took Alvin Kamara? Come here. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this. And if you just object, you just look at it as a casual fan, like, God, that was a terrible pass. Drew's getting old. Where in the hell is he throwing? But it's all anticipation and that communication. Oh, I like that.
You like it when you come up with it?
No, anticipation and communication. And he's trying to get Alvin Kamara. They're still learning. That's why you have
Let me communicate OTAs this to you.
And practicing to go forward for this upcoming season.
We have to take a break. That's my communication to you. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
I'm finished.
Back here on Sports Talk, still unpacking the Saints OTAs and a wild, crazy victory of LSU advancing over Auburn in the SEC tournament 4-3 in walk-off fashion. When I say walk-off fashion, Bobby, if you hadn't heard anything about the game, you had just came down from Alienville and you heard...
And they had a runner on second and third. I thought they got a base hit and they scored two runs.
Yeah.
If I don't know what occurred... I would just say, they had second and third, one out. They got a base hit, and they won the game.
Yeah, that's
instead
what you
of
think.
Tying the game. Yeah,
not a wild pitch that skips out, gets kicked by the catcher.
No, because a wild pitch, you could score a run, but not necessarily two.
Right. And that really wasn't even a wild pitch. What happened was the catcher blocked it. And then in a panic, looking for the ball, he kicked it.
Yep. And then the first baseman threw wild, and then –
Rankin Woolley trying to get DiGiacomo at the plate, the tying run, and then Drew Bianco, who was pinch running for Saul Garza, comes around all the way from second base to win.
Did a great job.
Never seen anything like that. Coming up next hour, you'll hear from Saints quarterback Drew Brees here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.